Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We will from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, entitled The Residence of Jambudvip offer prayers. Today we will read text 33, which is on the board. Yasmin Sankhya Visheshanama Upakrita Kavi Vikalpiteyam Sankhya Jayata Disa Paniyate Tasmai nama sankhya nidakshanayate iti. And purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. O my Lord, your name, form and bodily features are expanded in countless forms. No one can determine exactly how many forms exist, yet you yourself in your incarnation as the learned Kapiladev have analyzed the cosmic manifestation as containing 24 elements. Therefore, if one is interested in Sankhya philosophy, by which one can enumerate the different truths, he must hear it from you. Unfortunately, non-devotees simply count the different elements and remain ignorant of your actual form and respectful obeisance to you. Purport. Philosophers and scientists have been trying to study the entire cosmic situation and have been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. However, the speculative research work of a so-called scientist or philosopher is always interrupted when he dies, and the laws of nature go on without regard for his work. For billions of years, changes take place in the material creation, until at last the whole universe evolved, remains in an unmanifested state. Constant change, destruction, and destruction, buddha buddha prati, is perpetually going on in nature. Yet the material scientists want to study natural laws without knowing the Supreme God with the back nature. As Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Mayat yaksena prakriti chuchache chacharacharam, etunan in account yat charat viparivartate. The material nature is working under my direction, as of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rules, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. How the material creation is manifest, eventually it will be annihilated and remain for many millions of years in a dormant state, and finally it will again be created. It is the law of nature. Yasmin. So these are the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip. Jambudvip, there are different varsas described here in this chapter. I think we are in Iran Mayena or Iran Maya Varsha. Then and there Aryama is praying to the Lord's incarnation in the form of a tortoise, Kurma. And this is the last of these prayers. So in Jambudvip, there are different residents. Because in these chapters, last chapters of the 15th canto, the structure of the universe is explained. In these first chapters, the structure of the universe is explained in a horizontal way. And in the last two chapters, it will be explained in a vertical way. So this This is one of the verses, but there are many more. And in each varsha, the residents are worshipping the Lord in a certain form. They have, like we have one varsha, is called Kim Purush. Kim indicates in Sanskrit a question. Kim Purush means, is this a human being? That's and in Kim Purush Varsha, there Hanuman is worshipping, is glorifying the Lord in his form of Ramachandra. So the inhabitants are monkeys, therefore it's called Kim Purush. Is this a human being? That in one of the other Varshas, one of the other Varshas is called Hari, and there Prahlad Maharaj resides. And Prahlad Maharaj worshipping Narsingadev. And he's praying the Lord Narsingadev. His first prayer starts Namas Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste asya vira virvachanaka vachadamste kamasya khandas khandas tamoga sagasa om svayam abhyam abhyamani brista om kshiram. He's praying to Lord Narsingh, please purify my heart. Take all unwanted things away from my heart that I can become fearless. These are beautiful prayers. In the next verse, the Prahlad Maharaj is praying for the well-being of all living entities, that they become peaceful by performing bhakti yoga. That this is a characteristic of advanced devotees. They pray for the well-being of others. We know the word welfare and the word well-being. Welfare relates to the bodily health of someone, but well-being is related to the being itself, and that's the spirit soul. So. And they, pure devotees, are concerned with the well-being of others. And well-being means the purity of heart of others. That so Krishna soul in everyone's heart. And when I read this verse from Prahlad Maharaj, since then, sometimes, if I have some so-called problematic situations of difficult relationships, I pray to the super soul in the heart of the devotee. And it's amazing sometimes how Krishna reciprocates. Also further in these prayers of Prahlad, they end with a very known verse. A verse that has been quoted by Prabhupada so many times. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinshana sarver kunastatra samasate sura arava bhakta sikutomat kuna mona manoratina nasatida davato bahi. This verse says that everyone who endeavors to become a devotee, he develops in his body all the qualities developed from the demigods. Because those who are non-devotees, they have no good qualities. Because their existence on the mental platform and are just contemplating of on external objects. That, but the real life is a life of Krishna consciousness. And in this verse of today, it's about Lord Kapiladev and Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya philosophy, by study of all elements, one comes to the conclusion, what is matter at one side and what is spirit? So that's very important to understand by studying what we are not. Finally, we should come to the conclusion what we are, that's left over. So this is a study of 24 elements. One can ask the question, why is this in the Bhagavatam? Why all this creation is mentioned? Why do we have to study that? Some weeks ago, I was in Hungary, and the last day, when the devotee was driving me to the airport, to Budapest, and on the way he was asking me, you are studying the Bhagavatam, so is there a reason why we have to, that we have to study the Bhagavatam in a systematic way, one canto after another? And yes, there is a purpose, because the Bhagavatam is teaching us gradually to become pure devotees. And we have to learn the lesson from each section after section. Because that's very important to go through it in that sequence. So in the Bhagavatam there are mainly 10 main subjects. The first subjects are Sarga, Visarga, creation, sub-creation. So the purpose of this description of this creation and this sub-creation is to understand how Krishna is manifest through his creation, how that we can observe Krishna at every, like in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, in the 9th chapter, we have 3 verses, the first 3 verses of that chapter. They are very important. And Srila Prabhupada has written elaborate purpose in it. The first verse of the 9th chapter, there it typed out, what's the cause of us, how did we become contaminated? How did we become conditioned by material nature? That's explained by the first verse. And in the second verse, it's explained what the results are of it. And the third verse, in the 9th chapter of the second canto, it explains how to get out of material nature, how to liberate us. And if one studies these verses carefully, then we can conclude that everything is based on desire. Because the soul, the activity of the soul is that it desires. We have material world because we had the desire to become ourselves, to enjoy, to become the supreme enjoyer. And the result is we are put in this material atmosphere. That, and to come out of it is to again desire to become the servant of Krishna. That's the way to get out of it. So it's based on desire. Our future is we make our future based on our desires. And the Bhagavatam, gradually, is teaching us how to cultivate that desire and how to become a servant. And many teachings, like in this fifth canto, one of the major teachings in the fifth canto is the teachings of King Rishabhadev. And then we have Chyad Bharat, and in the experience with King Raughan. Then later we have Ajamil, and it goes up till the eighth, ninth canto, King Rantidev, very austere in devotional service, because that's a very high level. Because Krishna wants us to be austere. It says in Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge should not be into those who are not austere. And then when we come to the 10th canto, and if we have learned all the lessons through all the other cantos, then when we arrive at the 10th canto, we are on the liberated platform. But then one can say yes, if we have learned all these lessons, but if we didn't learn the lessons, what to do? Because at the end of the second canto, Srila Prabhupada writes, if you are not free of sex desire, you should not go to the third canto. But honestly speaking, most of us are not on that level, at least. Krishna is in the heart of everyone. We cannot think for Krishna. But what we can do is that, well, one time this same question was asked to Mahavishnu Goswami from Gujarat. And he said that, yes, you can study the third canto, even not completely free from sex desire, but you should continue at the same time study the first and second canto. That because these cantos, first cantos, they are the basis. They are called the lotus feet of Krishna, and the Padapadma. That these first cantos, especially the second chapter of the first canto, is very important. It's like a summary of the whole Bhagavatam. Like in the Gita, we have the second and the 18th chapter that are also like summaries of the Gita. And we can see Srila Prabhupada further in the Bhagavatam. Always he refers to these verses of the second chapter of the first canto. Also, when you read the first verse of the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Sakta Manaparta Yoga Yunga Madashwa, if you read the purport of that verse, we will see that Srila Prabhupada is referring to the second chapter of the first canto to summarize the whole process of yoga. Very nicely summarized there. Now, Sankhya philosophy, in the third canto, we get so many teachings. That, like one of the teachings there, we find is that the creation is described. It will be described many times, also up to the fourth canto. And there, it's explained that in the beginning there was Brahman. And in Brahman, the Supreme Lord put the three modes in unmanifest state. So Brahman, added with these three modes in unmanifest state, becomes Pradhan, technically called Pradhan. And then this Pradhan, Krishna, has another ingredient. And that ingredient is time. And then he injects the living entities. And that And then it becomes ma-tattva. Then the ma-tattva starts to react. And the first thing that's happened is a false ego appears. And out of a combination of false ego, an idea that I'm a false identity, combination between false ego and goodness, the energy called mind is produced. And then a little further, out of a combination between false ego and passion, the energy intelligence is created. One can ask that what Gita has mentioned, that intelligence is higher than the mind, and we have to control the intelligence, the mind with the intelligence, with transcendental intelligence. Why it's described in the Bhagavatam that intelligence is a product from false ego, and if it's supposed to be higher than the mind. One has to understand the purpose of creation. Like I said, everything is based on desire. We are here based on desire. And desire to enjoy is a desire in passion. And therefore, Krishna gives us intelligence in passion. Because if we have an intelligence in passion, we will make plans how to enjoy. So we see that Krishna makes arrangements according to our desire. But then, further in the creation, in the Sankhya philosophy, this false ego combines with ignorance. And then, out of that, five gross elements of creation, Bhumi, Rapa, Nala, Vayor, Kam, they are created. But the first element that is created is the most subtle gross, which is Kam, ether. That ether is a substance in which the mind has its activities. The mind works within the ether sphere. Like when we think of something, we think in mind. Sometimes we think. Sometimes we think in words, ideas, feelings. So many things are going on in the mind. But if you think of a certain image, then that image is really formed in the ethereal space. It's there. But it's so subtle. Like scientists, they did an experience somewhere. And they made a curtain. And within that curtain, they put thousands of very light metal elements. And then they made an experiment with different people, and they asked them to sit before that curtain with their head, and then to think of a certain image. And by the power of the mind, through this ether, these material elements, they started to move. So by that they try to prove how the mind is active in that element ether. But if we have certain desires, if we have desires for sensual enjoyment, then these ideas, they will be formed, the images will be formed, conceptions will be formed in this ethereal space. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vabhismam bhavam yaya yati tam, yam yam vabhismam bhavam tyatante kalevram tam takaunteya satatat bhavabhavita. So what conception, the conceptions one has of the moment of death will determine bodies. Because according to that conception, a new body is already formed in that ethereal space. And it goes to the next, when the subtle mind, intelligence goes to the next body, forms the next body already in that ethereal sphere. And in the womb of the next mother, there, that this is further materialized. It's like in Mumbai, you see so many, they are building so many skyscrapers. And first, they make like a skeleton, like many times they make first a metal construction and then fill it in, and then it's further finished. In the same way that the basis for further construction of the body is already in the ethereal space. So we have to be careful what we desire. Because according to our desire, we will materialize things. Then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Karmiya Vadikaraste Na Faleshana Kachana. He says, you should work out of duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. If you are entitled to the fruits of action, then it will further materialize. If you act out of duty, acting for Krishna devotional service, then stop. No materialization anymore. So it's based on our desire. So these are some aspects on this Sankhya philosophy. So many more things are in the first canto. This is just a little chapter, which is called Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. But so much information is there. One of the famous verses, many times quoted by Srila Prabhupada from that section, is Satampa Sangam Mamavirya Samvido Bhavantirna Rasayana Kata. Yaso Yatit Apavarya Vartmani Shadaratir Bhakti Shati. By association of devotees. When one hears in association of devotees, the powerful pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and they enter the heart, then if one hears them in association of Satam, pure devotions, one is put on the path of liberation. And this is happening by the cultivation of faith. And then one gets rati, attraction, and finally bhakti. That's love forgotten. So this Sankhya philosophy is there to cultivate our desire. Our desire so that we come more and more intensely attracted to Krishna, even by studying the material elements in the material world. And finally, we will come to the level of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, in the seventh canto, he prays the Lord Narsingadev. He says, I'm not afraid of your material energy. When I read that, I was a little surprised. That's not a thing I can say for myself. Better to be afraid of the material energy. But he said, I'm not afraid of your illusory material energy, because I see you everywhere. That's the stage we have to attain, that we see Krishna everywhere. And that can only done by studying this Bhagavatam in association of devotees. It cannot be done like explained by Srila Prabhupada here. Philosophers and scientists who try to study the entire cosmic situation has been theorizing and calculating in different ways for millions and millions of years. It's like this great professor. He got a PhD and he did great research in science, in the scientific fields, and he got a Nobel Prize. In a later age, he was invited in so many places all over the world to give conferences. He got very positive reviews in newspapers all over the world. And one day, there was another advertisement announcing that he died. And then, about 2 years later, he took birth again. And what did he say? Mama, he has to learn how to speak. He has to learn how to walk. He has to learn how to read, how to write. The big professor has to learn everything again. So that's not the way to attain perfection. So the way to attain perfection is study this Bhagavatam and realize the spiritual techniques we find in the Bhagavatam. Make a plan, understand them, make a plan how I'm going to realize this in my life, in my practical situation. I studied Bhakti Vaibhava in Vrindavan for 4 years, and especially the last months of the course were very intense, because during 4 months we were studying the Bhagavatam nearly every day. In the morning from 10 to 1, mostly Mother Narayani, she gave a presentation. In the afternoon, we had group works discussing the Bhagavatam, answering questions, preparing for writing essays. In the late afternoon, Purijan Prabhu gave a 2-hour presentation. And in the evening, we were reading the section for the next day and preparing. It was very intense. But after discussing the Bhagavatam during some months in association with advanced devotees, you feel different than before, more detached, more peaceful, more tolerant. You feel you are developing these qualities of a great saint. Sanai is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Gradually, you are developing these qualities of saintly persons. And that's very important, that we make a plan how to develop these saintly qualities. And also, by studying the Bhagavatam and this philosophy, you get gradually a vision of reality. Like, you come to understand this material, it's such a useless thing. Like, if I go 40 years back, 40 years ago, I was living in Flanders, in Brussels. And all the older people I knew at that time, today they are not there anymore. the whole generation died out. 40 years ago, I was raised in Flemish language. But next generations, they raise their children not in Flemish, but in Dutch. It's a slight other language. So even the language 40 years ago, it died out. It's not there anymore. The culture changed completely. 40 years ago, people in Paris, they were quite religious. Today, all religious practices nearly gone. So now, 40 years later, the culture has gone, the people has gone, it's like in another world. Sometimes I was this just a dream, or was it reality? Sometimes you dream and you wake up, and when you wake up you think that, oh, it was only a dream, it's not important. Because it was temporary. But while we were in the dream, we took it first. But when you wake up, you say, it's like Krishna conscious. When you wake up from this gross dream, because this is a gross dream, it's not a reality, because it's temporary. It's there for some time. We have to wake up from this gross dream, because if we don't wake up, then you go to the next gross dream. Birth again, death again, birth again, death again, and it goes on like that. But if we understand this material world, it's a theater. It's performed by the illusory energy, the theater. But the real thing is our relationship with Krishna inside. Like Chad Bharat. He acted as a madman externally. He was always thinking of his relationship with Krishna. A devotee is acting like an actor on a stage. If you perform a drama, then yes, you know, I played this role so many times. I need these words I have to speak, and then I will get a fake knife in my back and fall down. That's the external drama. But internally, the man who is the actor who is performing his play is thinking about it, his girlfriend he will meet after the play, and all their plans that they have together. He thinks of something else while performing his duty. So in that way, the devotee, while performing his duty in this world, then he's always of his relationship with Krishna. He sees everything in relation to Krishna. And that action of life. Yoginam apisharvasham matchanenantaratmanam. Always intimately united with Krishna. So, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. If there are comments or questions, please. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantarashi Mad Bhagavatam Ke.